Praise God. Good to see all of you out today. God is working powerfully. Amen. Seeing a lot of good things happen in this area. We're going to begin to see a lot more. Amen. Praise God. We are, God is creating an atmosphere of breakthrough. We're not. We're just trying to catch up. We're just trying to obey. But I felt in my spirit today, I felt like the Holy Spirit tell me that He was creating an atmosphere of breakthrough. Amen. For His people, for the churches. And that there was going to be a breakthrough of new souls being saved, people coming out of darkness. And He's going to cause people, evangelism, we think of evangelism as somebody that holds a week of meetings, you know, and preaches every night or, you know, something like that, or stands on the street corner with a microphone and hollers, you know, you're going to hell if you don't get right. That's what we think of evangelism is actually the body of Christ just making contact with people and helping to bring them out of darkness. There are people that have definite evangelistic calls, but God's going to raise those up. But it's just people that God began. Every time I've seen one of those chain of grace things happen where people just start getting saved, it's always somebody initiates that, and God gives them influence, and they begin to reach that area, and people just start coming in. And so we are ready for one of those. Amen. We're ready for one of those, and God's going to cause. There was a church that I pastored several years ago. There was a man, the first year that I was there, there was a man that started coming, and in people into the church, and they gave their lives to the Lord in 1 year through the efforts of that one man. And every week he had people there, new people. And they just kept coming in. And they wouldn't just come to church. God would get a hold of them. They would give their lives to the Lord. And it was just this continual flow of, and that happens a lot. But God wants to bring that into the body of Christ, because there are areas that need that chain of grace. I've been for quite a while now, I've been praying over the area west of us. And there's a huge area to the west of us that just needs outreach. And we need to see people coming out of the hills and hollers around here and coming to worship Jesus. Because these hills and hollers are full of people. When you drive down these roads, you realize that there are people everywhere. And so there's a lot going on in this area. There's new churches springing up all over the place, and all types of churches. And I see their parking lots full, and it just thrills me. But I still know that there are so many that aren't being evangelized. Amen. So many that aren't being saved. So a lot of church growth, and I'm not trying to be negative today, but a lot of church growth is Christian people leaving one church and starting another church. I read an article here a while back that said in America now 90% of all church growth is church splits. That's not church growth. That's just dividing the pie smaller and smaller and smaller. Amen. But God, I believe God is raising that up. We're seeing some breakthroughs against darkness. Darkness is trying its best to hang on, but light just keeps breaking its grip. And we're seeing that. We're seeing that not only in a national scale, we're seeing that in a world scale. Ever played that the enemy tries, God has something that overcomes that and causes people. I'm just going to say this. It won't be long, and the gospel is going to invade North Korea one more time. Amen. Praise God. Because it's been set up, God's been doing this, and Pyongyang was the place where the power of the Holy Spirit was poured out on that continent or on that peninsula, and it's the capital of North Korea, and it's been held captive. But God's claiming His territory back. And the power of God's going to flow in Pyongyang one more time, and we're going to see the glory of God infiltrate into that area. It's a worldwide thing. Every time the enemy tries something, God overcomes it. And we are in a day. I know it seems like we're in a day where everything is going wrong. Actually, it's not. We're in a day of breakthroughs. Breakthroughs. Praise God. Keep your heart fixed on Him. Keep your heart fixed on God. Don't let yourself be overcome by the ridiculous ignorance that's taking place today. That's the best way I know how to say it. Ridiculous ignorance. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Friday night was amazing. We had worship night of worship Friday night. It was amazing. Oh, my goodness. Presence of God, the glory of the Lord. And the thing that thrills me is people from all over the area want to keep these going. And they getting a vision for it. Well, one of the next things I want to do when it warms up, I've already talked to the people that own the Shrine of the Holy Spirit down by the Mansion Theater, and we're going to be setting up a worship time there on that shrine. They've already told me we can, and so we're going to be doing an all-area worship time there. And just right out on the patio there around the fountain, and we're going to set up and do worship right there. And so thank God for that. Amen. I'm looking forward to it. Praise God. When it warms up a little bit, we'll see. We'll move forward with that, and thank God. I'm trying to get focused here. Got a lot of stuff running through my brain today. I've always got all kind. I'm like a computer with 10 to 15 windows open all the time, and they're always running in the background. And sometimes when I get up and start talking, all that stuff starts coming out. It's just like, you know, I open my mouth and what's in my head falls out my mouth. But it's good. Praise God. There's honor. God has given us honor. Bringing honor back to the body of Christ. There's a people raising up that is restoring honor in the body of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Restoring honor. Amen. Sometimes we don't understand. I've asked God why. You know, I would love to just be investing all of my time in the vision God has given me building that, but for whatever reason, God has put me in the workforce for 15 years now, and you know, just all of a sudden I found myself going into the workforce, and that's been 15 years of that now, and I thought, you know, why and all that kind of stuff, and yet I found out that I have a whole, you know, I have a whole nother body of people that we influence, and you know, that's this week I've had several people approach me and tell me the difference I've made in their lives, and I've not even talked to them. I mean, I haven't went to them and told them, you know, this is what you need to do and stuff. I'm just there. You know, I give them guidance when they ask for it and stuff like that. And I've gotten one of my bosses sent me a text the other day and just talking about the influence and stuff. And at that time, I thought, ooh, you know, I've been a little. God forgive me, I've been a little resentful about this. You know, I feel like I'm not doing what I need to be doing. You know, I need to have more time to do it. And yet, all of a sudden, I've found out that, you know, there's people that I've been touching people's lives, didn't even know it. And that's the way we are, children of God. We carry a presence with us, hopefully. If you're a child of God and you find yourself in conflict with other employees all the time and just all kinds of tension and all kinds of stuff, you need to really check what's going on with you, because God wants you to make an impact in those people's lives. Amen. And I'm gonna start ministering on that today. Lately, the Holy Spirit's been speaking to me a title, and I'm, you know, I'd like to. I think this ought to be another book. It's called Calm and Confident, the heart of a Christian. Calm and confident, the state of the Christian soul. If we was ever living in a time where we need calm and confidence, it's now. And we've got that. And God can make you calm and confident. Confidence is not pride. Confidence is an understanding. Amen. Confidence is actually humility. I know a lot that those two don't seem to go together. A confident person is the only one that can actually express true humility. Because true humility does not come from self-put-downs and always saying, oh, I'm not worth anything, or I'm not good as this person. That is not humility. That is a damaged spirit that needs to be healed. Amen. Understanding who you are and understanding where you belong will cause you to be able to be humble. You won't feel competitive to the people around you. Humility is not feeling like you have to compete with anybody. It's not an arrogance. Arrogance is repulsive. Confidence is attractive. People will not be influenced by anybody they don't see confidence in of what they believe. If you're not confident in who you are, they're not going to want to hear what you have to say. Amen. I better start. I'm giving you shotgun effect. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. Oh, praise God. I like that statement. Resist him. Number one, you got to know who him is. You got to know when it's the enemy. There's a difference between your soul giving you problems and the devil giving you problems. Amen. Both are a great enemy. Matter of fact, I tend to believe that our soul is a greater enemy than the devil, because our soul is the only thing he can use to get to us. He can't use anything else. We're going to talk about that a little bit. But it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. You ever wondered what your call is? You're called to eternal glory by Christ Jesus. That's your calling. Everything else is just part of it. You know, a lot of people are worried, what am I called to do? What does God want me to do? God wants you to be full of his eternal glory. Everything else will just be an expression of that. Amen. Several years ago, I resigned from being a minister. And yet I've pastored for years. And I told people that. I said, look, I'm resigning from ministry. And they didn't understand what I was saying. I said, but I've decided just to be who I am and be who God called me to be. So I'm not ministering anymore. I'm just me. And what comes out of me is what God has invested in me and what God has made me. Amen. Therefore, I don't have to flip a switch when I get up here on the platform, because I'm the same here as I am when I'm out in the workforce. You can ask JR. Sometimes things come out of my mouth that just shouldn't, that are just, very direct and very, I don't hold back. I try to use wisdom, but I'm very direct about, I'm just who I am, just like I would be standing on this platform. There's a man the other day, I might have told you about this, just you know, very rough talking person, and just cusses nonstop, just the foulest language you can ever imagine. And he got up. We was in this thing they call the break room, and he got up, and he just started just, you know, this foul language just started pouring out of him. And he turned around to me and saw me, and he goes, "Oh, I'm sorry. I know how religious you are." I looked at him. I said, "Don't apologize to me, buddy. It's you that has the problem." He said, "You're right. You're right." We don't have to flip a switch to be a Christian. If we have to flip a switch from our everyday life to our Christian life, then we're not Christian people. We are people that you know, are trying to live both worlds. We're trying to live in both things. You should be who you are, no matter where you are, no matter who you're around. You just simply should be you. Amen. When I walk from the back of the church to this platform, I don't put on the preacher. I just simply get up here, and I'm who I am. This is what God created me to be. It's not the fact that I'm a pastor. Matter of fact, I have people tell me all the time, "Oh, it just bothers me to get up in front of people." I don't see myself as being in front of people. I see myself as being with people. We're just with each other, you know? We're all just doing this thing together. We're people of God that are filling our perspective roles in the fact that we're just simply exhibiting who we are. Amen. By the way, the enemy will only try to cause outside forces to attack you when he can't get you to attack you. But most of the time, he does not need outside help because we are too willing to do his work for him. Resist him. Resist him. Don't create your own problems, and don't beat yourself up, and don't cause yourself to be defeated. There's plenty of that outside of this. What needs to be here is wholeness. What needs to be here is somebody that is absolutely sure of their position. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while. And we don't like that. After you have suffered a while. I looked in the Greek. I looked in several different Bibles. I looked to try to find out what this suffering means, you know. I thought maybe it had a deeper meaning than just suffering. And so I looked in everything I could find, and it just simply means suffering. No escape. But it is not to try to destroy you. This victim mentality that has grown in the body of Christ causes us to be offended and hurt instead of established. We've got to learn to be established. We're living in a day where people are offended and have to run to their safe room simply because somebody disagrees with them. And I have seen that in the body of Christ for 40 years, that we have a hard time letting somebody disagree with us. We started this thing. We started the safe room. Because everybody thought that coming to church should be this little safe room where nobody bothers us and we get our way. And they better do what we tell them to do, or we'll pull our big bucks right out of this church. Guarantee you. I couldn't tell you how many times I've had people try to manipulate me and control me with their money. That's why I have no idea who gives what. I never ask. I never see the reports. I see the end report, how much, but I don't know who gives what, because I'm not gonna go that route. I don't care. You know, I'm going to minister to everybody the same. But I've had people come up to me and say, look, if you don't side with me on this, I'm not going to give like I have been. I have wished over the years that I was a little more of a good politician than what I am. Because at that moment, I don't take those kind of things very well, and I usually tell them, don't you ever give another dollar to this church because it's cursed and you're cursed until you repent. I don't want your money. God will feed me by ravens. God will feed this church by ravens. We don't need your money controlling this thing. That might sound like a bad attitude, but I cannot stand the world coming into the church and try to establish its priorities in the church. That's not who we are. We are a body of Christ. We come here to worship God, and we love God because He is our Lord and our God. And we got to get rid of our little safe rooms. We got to get rid of our little cry rooms. And we got to realize that somebody's going to disagree with you. There's going to be conflict. You're even going to be attacked at times. But that doesn't mean that you run to your safe room and cry. It means that you say, okay, God, reveal in me who you are so that this thing will work in me to bring forth patience and bring forth establishment. Because he said, after you have suffered a while. How long is that while? Most of the time, it's until we start responding correctly. How long is this trial going to last? Probably until you quit repeating over and over and over the same conduct. I've seen people over the years, they'll grow to a certain point, and the same play, every time the devil uses the same tactic, and it works every time, and if they would just suck it up and just step over that line, they would have a breakthrough. Is that too bold to say? At least I haven't cussed yet, you know, just. You know, sometimes that worries me because I work around guys that are, I hear it all day long, you know, just I hear that stuff all day. And I've said different times, God, don't let that ever come out of my mouth. I mean, it's got in my brain, but when I'm preaching, guard me. You know what I'm talking about? Woo! Lord Jesus. When we understand what God's doing, he said that we might, after you have suffered a while. Suffering means that there's pressure, conflict of some kind, that there are people that are against you, that are people that don't like you, there's things that go wrong in your life, okay? That is not to ruin you. It's not to take you down. It's not to hurt you. And God allows those things to come into our life, not to try us and see what we're made of, but to make us what we ought to be made of. Amen. That the trying of your faith, being much more precious than gold, which perisheth though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what the Word says. I believe that's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. Let me look that up real fast. Yeah, read that. That the trying of your faith, your faith will be tried. That doesn't mean that God is trying to punish you for something. You know, I hear people go at this thing like, why is God doing this to me? Why is God punishing me like this? God's not punishing you. God's wanting you to step up in your faith and realize you're not underneath this thing. If we can just find that power, find that strength, find that ability, every time we back down from something, it gains power over us. When you back down and when you take a position of being defeated, you have just assigned authority to the thing you allowed to defeat you. And now that authority has to be broken over your life before you can step forward, and you're going to bump up against that thing and bump up against it and bump up against it until the authority of that situation is broken over your life. If you run every time somebody upsets you, then you're going to constantly be running from place to place until you break through that. And once you break through that, then all of a sudden faith has taken a position where fear and anger used to be. And now you have power in your life over that situation. But until we confront it and face it and walk through it, it has authority over us. Amen. Every fear that we allow to control us has authority over us. You know, I've always had this thing that if something makes me afraid, I can't stand it. I have to confront it. I have to somehow break it. I can't stand to be afraid of something. I've got a little granddaughter that's just like me, and the other day she fell down the steps. She hit the bottom. She got up crying. Her mama run over to pick her up, and she shoved back from her and turned around and stomped all the way. She was not even 2 years old. Stomped all the way up to the top of the steps and turned around at the top of steps and went, "Ah!" Not even 2 years old. Those steps were not going to control her or conquer her. We've got to develop that. I realize that every person in this house has a first response. Your first response is either fear or anger. And all of us are engineered that way. It's not right or wrong. It's not, well, you're less and you're more, whatever. We're just engineered that way, okay? There's no bad person here, okay? I want to make sure we understand that. The person that has their first response is fear. When something happens, you take a step backwards. And you try to make everything okay because you don't like confrontation and you don't like for people to be upset. And so you take a step back. You're the consolers. You're the ones that's always consoling, that wants everybody to be happy. And the problem with that is you'll never be happy yourself because you're always trying to console and you're always walking backwards. You have to learn how to not be controlled by that. Okay, your first response is fear. So that fear has to be controlled, and you have to learn not to be controlled by that fear of conflict, that fear of people being upset. And the only way to do that is become settled, to become established in who you are. Once you become established in who you are, you're still going to be a consoler. It's just that you're not controlled by that and tormented by all the people around you that seem to be unhappy or don't like you or the conflict. You're not going to be afraid of conflict anymore because conflict is no longer an enemy to you that scares you, but now it's something you understand is normal in order for people to come to understanding. Okay? There's always going to be conflict. Amen. Always going to. When I talk to people about coming to church and they say, "Oh, I'll never go back to church. I was hurt in church." They have an unreal expectation that there's never going to be conflict. How can that be? You got all kinds of people in a church body. And there's going to be people that's going to be disagreeing with you, and you're not going to like them. And there's going to be people make the hair stand on the back of your head just the fact that they walked in. The fact they're breathing air bothers you. Something about them just goes all over you. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. I've had people come up to me and say, "You're going to have to do something about this. I can't worship with these people. They're very distracting and they're upsetting me." And my response is always the same. Why are you looking at them? Are you not supposed to be worshiping the Lord? If they bother you, you've got these little things called blinders. You shut them, solved. They no longer bother you. But they can't close their eyes because they're irritated by this thing and they want it stopped. this is not like what I like. You know? Well, that's because what you like is not always right. Oh, man, I am just really meddling today. Woo! When your first response is fear, other people being upset torments you. And so you have to always try to console those people. And you want everything to be okay. And you end up dreading people. You dread contact. You dread being around people because they bother you. They make you feel insecure. They make you feel upset. They somehow are able to make you feel less. And that bothers you. People whose first response is anger is triggered the same way, but they respond differently. When somebody's first response is anger, instead of stepping back, they take a step forward. They assert themselves into the situation. And it's the same thing. It's something has made them feel less or challenged them, but they're going to confront this thing because they don't like it and because, you know, that's just who they are. It's their first response is anger. So we have a tendency. I shouldn't associate with that. People have a tendency to set things in order. Mm-hmm. Sister Betty told me one time, she said, "You are the bossiest person I've ever known." I said, "Honey, it's my greatest gift. I have to exercise this gift. God gave it to me." I told her the other day we was moving a dock, and I said, "You know, I really didn't do much of anything." She said, "In all the years I've known you, that's not true." She said, "I'll guarantee you that you was involved in stuff." I said, "Well, little." When your first response is anger, the problem with that anger is that you begin to view people as your opponent and your enemy, and you feel like you have to conquer. You're always having to conquer everybody around you because people challenge you. And if they challenge you, then they have to be conquered. If they challenge if they make you feel less, a person that has the first response of anger will always be angry because people are able to make them feel inadequate in some way, and they can't tolerate that, so they immediately step forward and let them know that I am not inadequate. Matter of fact, I'm superior to you. Woo. It's all just out on the floor right now. I mean, it's out there. Both of these responses, you're not going to be able to change what your first response is, but you can sanctify it. You can bring it into the presence of God and make it a gift instead of a torment. Your first response, those that have the first response of anger can be those that immediately begin to bring order to disorder in people's life. You can immediately begin to bring function out of chaos because you see past it. You're not looking at your own emotions. You're looking at the situation and you're going to fix it. A lot of people that way. You're just going to fix it. You know, me and Sister Betty, we're polar opposites. You couldn't find two people more opposite. I mean, we are polar opposite. And yet we get along great, mostly because of her. Her first response is fear. My first response is anger. And so we have to. For years, I've worked on her to learn how to stand up and not be run over. And she has worked on me, try to get me to sit down and shut up. Because we do those things. We're always, you know, you don't have to conquer everyone around you, but we have those first responses. We have to let them be sanctified, and we have to understand that God can take those and use them. I was in a jewelry store several years ago. And sometimes this prophetic gift can be a problem, especially when you have an assertive attitude and personality. Because a lot of times you start talking without first checking to see if you should be talking. You know? I'm always telling people, if you feel like you don't belong in the room, stop and say, how can I not belong in the room? This is my room. Everybody else just gets to be in it with me. Fix it. But I was at Zell's Jewelry up in Springfield buying Sister Betty an anniversary present. Yay me. And I'm writing out the check. I'm paying for it. And I'm hearing this conversation going on over here. Now, this is the problem with people that have several windows open, because you know what's going on all around you. You're involved in every conversation that's going on around you. Even if you're not involved in them, you're still involved in them because you're processing everything that's going around you. You're aware of the room. You're aware of everything around you all the time. I tell Sister Betty that sometimes I'm envious of her because she can go somewhere, she doesn't know who's there. I mean, she's able to just relax. Me, I walk in a place and I'm immediately picking up on this and this. You know, I know who's at the door. I know who's behind me. I know who's over here. I know what's going on in their lives. I know this person is cheating on his wife, and I'd like to go over there and slap him. You know, that kind of stuff. And so I'm standing there at the counter writing that check, and I hear this lady over there saying, I don't know why, but I always end up being a manager. You know, I just all my life I've always been a manager. And before I could grab hold of my mouth, I looked up and I said, you've been that way all your life. I said, matter of fact, your dad used to say, why am I in the family when we got you? And I said, You've been the boss ever since you was born. I said, it's just your nature. And I said, a lot of people think you're not compassionate because you don't show compassion and sympathy. But you show compassion and action and answers. You take control of the situation. And all of a sudden I realize that all these people are standing there staring at me. And I'm talking to people that I don't know about situations I have no idea about. And all of a sudden I feel really, really conspicuous. And I turn around and even customers are looking at me. And I said, I think I'll just go ahead and pay for this. I just finished writing out the check. But there are personality traits that God has given us, and the devil distorts those personality traits. People that are insecure find themselves being tormented all the time by the feelings, emotions, and situations of people around them, and so it bothers them. People that have this other response always feel challenged and feel like people are challenging them, and they have to constantly conquer the people around them. Somehow keep them from taking over your life and keep them from controlling you and all this kind of stuff. These are godly characteristics that have been distorted and have been misused, and God wants to bring them into the thing that He wants to use them for. And the only way to do that is you've got to go through this thing called suffering. Because we as human beings don't learn without suffering. Boy, wouldn't it be great if we could just be taught? You know, if somebody just tell us something and we're like, oh, okay, I'll do that. But no, we don't do that. We have to somehow prove it. We have to somehow learn it. And so after you have suffered a while, people that are insecure will constantly be brought into situations where there's conflict over and over and over until you learn not to be controlled by the conflict. Until authority is taken away from that over your life and you are able to face it without feeling like it's got control of you. People that have a response of anger will be challenged over and over, and people that just irritate you will be brought into your life over and over and over until authority is taken away from that and you're able to feel settled in those situations. You don't feel like you have to protect yourself anymore. You don't have to feel like you have to conquer anything anymore. You're okay. Amen. Matter of fact, you can let other people win. Sometimes. I told Sister Betty told me one time, she said, "You're very competitive." I said, "Well, I'm not either." It's amazing how unself-aware we are. Amen. Becoming aware of yourself is a very tremendous thing. Becoming self-aware will cause you to excel in life because you learn to accept your weaknesses and allow other people to be strength in your weakness, and you learn to accept your strength without having to try to dominate others through your strengths. To become self-aware, the most successful people in the world are not people that are well-educated, that have a high academic IQ, but the most successful people in the world are those that have a high emotional IQ. They understand themselves and they understand other people. Those are ones that are successful. We as children of God need a higher emotional IQ. Matter of fact, we need a higher emotional IQ than the rest of the world because we will be confronted by more things than the rest of the world. And your Christianity will be confronted constantly, challenged constantly. And you have to be okay with that without being offended. There's actually a term, I wish I could remember it right now, but there is a term that it's actually a mental state that all of us have, that if somebody disagrees with your belief system, you become personally offended because that's how you, that is your identity. That's how you identify yourself. And so when somebody attacks your belief system or disagrees with your belief system and doesn't agree with something you believe in, then we feel offended, we feel put down, and we take it personal. Why? They're attacking our belief system, not attacking us. And yet in our minds, you can't separate the two because our belief system is us. And so we feel offended by that. And it causes us to not be able to function in the way that we should function. Amen. Praise God. It's awful quiet in here. in the fifth chapter, let's finish this. It says, after you have suffered a while, that he may perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. How many believe you need to be settled? You need God to settle you. I want to read that out of the Amplified Bible. Notice I'm using my phone. Isn't that awesome? And I've got the ringer turned off so you can't call me and make it ring. I don't know. Last time I tried to use my phone as an illustration, 6 people in this congregation called me immediately. My phone started ringing like crazy. Therefore, in verse 6, says, therefore, in Amplified, it says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, set aside self-righteous pride, so that he may exalt you to a place of honor in his service. How many want to be exalted to a place of honor in his service? Amen. That's not pride, that's not arrogance, that is settledness. At the appropriate time, now listen, casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, and all of your concerns once and for all on him, for he cares for you. I like that definition. All your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns once and for all on him, for he cares for you. You know how you do that? You stop believing that you're in control. And then you can cast all your cares on him. Amen. If you don't believe that, you won't be able to do that. You'll take them back. You'll maintain control. Amen. For he cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. Oh, praise God. Even in the times where conflict and suffering has come into your life to help you rise above it and break the authority that it has over your life, he's right there watching over you very carefully, instructing you. The church should not have PTSD. And yes, so many in the body of Christ today suffer with what we call PTSD. It's like we're battle shocked. It's like we've been in a battle and we're battle shocked. That is not the purpose. The purpose is for you to become self-aware and break the authority of conflict and controversy over your life to where you can become established in who you are and become solid. Praise God. I'm closing this. Be encouraged. He cares about you. Be sober, well-balanced, and self-disciplined. I like that. Amen. Be sober, well-balanced, and self-disciplined. Be alert and cautious at all times. That enemy of yours, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, fiercely hungry, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, be firm in your faith against his attack, rooted, established, immovable, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being experienced by your brothers and sisters throughout the world. You do not suffer alone. After you have suffered a little while, now see, the Amplified put in there an extra word, little. After you have suffered a little while, the grace of the God of all grace, who imparts his blessing and favor, who called you to his own eternal glory in Christ, will himself complete, confirm, strengthen, and establish you, making you what you ought to be. To him be dominion, power, authority, sovereignty forever and ever. Amen. God has a mission, and that is to bring you into the person that you're supposed to be. Yes. The best you.
Thank you, God.
Amen. I saw a book, the title of a book here a while back. I think it's Joel Osteen wrote it, said, "Be the best you." Well, I can save you the money of buying that book in a simple statement. The best you is when you humble yourself beneath the mighty hand of God and let Jesus produce in you who he is. And when that mixes with the personality and characteristics that he's given you, then you become who you ought to be. You're not going to be like everybody else. Amen. Stop trying to fit in. You don't fit in. We're fitly framed together, but that means that you have the angles and the part that nobody else has to make up that part of the frame. Amen. Stand with me today if you would. Settled. I like that word, settled. How many think that'd be a nice place to be, just to be settled?
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. I like to just be settled. I'm the kind, it might be my control thing, I don't know, but I don't like things to bother me. I don't like things to get to me. Anybody agree with me? I don't like things to get to me. I don't like them to control me, I guess, whatever the case might be. I like to be settled. I like to feel that calm assurance, that confident assurance that everything's okay, God's here, God's got this. I had a lady at work the other day, one of our secretaries, just say out of the blue in front of a whole bunch of other people, she said, she looked at me, she said, "You just make me feel calm." I said, "Okay." And she said, "I told these guys the other day that if I'm ever in the hospital, I want Tim Snyder standing at my bed holding my hand because he makes me feel calm and confident." And I thought, man, there's that title again. Calm and confident. That's She doesn't understand that's not me because I'm not always calm and confident. But that's what Jesus is producing. That's what he's wanting to put in her. You understand what I'm talking about? 10 people can be around you, and when the Holy Spirit's working in your life, all 10 of them perceive something different about you and receive something different from you. God wants to settle us. God wants to make us settled. He don't want us having to have our safe room where we feel threatened. God don't want you to feel threatened today. He don't want you always angry. He wants you to feel the peace and calmness of His presence.
Yes.
No matter what's going on in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Father, we just thank You today.
Thank You, Jesus.
Lord, You know my heart. God, sometimes I might look like I'm steady, but Lord, on the inside, I'm coming apart, Lord God. I'm blowing up inside. And Father, I thank You that You can take that and bring it into strength. And Father, I thank You for that today. Lord, we just believe today for the power of Your Holy Spirit to work in our lives, Lord God. We realize that the sufferings that come into our life is not here to hurt us, but to break the authority of that thing over our lives. And God, we ask You to raise us up and help us, Lord God, to break the authority of it over our lives,
yes,
Father
God.
God. To step past that line of conflict, to step past that line, that chicken line, that wall, that barrier, Lord God, to break through that glass wall that seems to hold us back. And Father, to break the authority of these weapons the devil uses against us continually, to break that over our lives. And Father, I thank You for breakthroughs today. Lord, even as we've been talking today, Lord God, understanding, wisdom, and insight has been coming alive. The lights have been coming on in some people's hearts. Lord, You're empowering them to move forward. And Lord, I thank You today that we move forward. We take a step forward today in Your presence and in Your power. And Lord, I thank You for Your victory today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I thank You for Your victory today in Jesus' name. Glory. Hallelujah. Let's worship for a few minutes today and just invite the Holy Spirit to come in into your heart and just bring revelation and understanding into your heart today of how to break the authority and establish your heart today.